I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns and, of course, Gary Larrabee, sports historian and golf writer. And we bring you this little special edition of golf here on a frigid Monday afternoon. Welcome, gentlemen. Gary, how are you doing?
Great, great going, Rick, and great to be with you as always.
Thank you very much. Tim, you okay?
Yeah. Just trying to get the warmth back in my bones, you know.
Well, it's Super Bowl Monday, and I guess we could start with that, Gare. We're no under no time constraints here, but do you watch the Super Bowl if the Patriots are not in it usually?
Well, of course, and there was lots of good storylines last night, and going to be happy for Matthew Stafford, although I'm unhappy for Joe Burrow, but I have to believe that Joe Burrow will win a few of these before it's over. But it was a good game right down to the end, and I thought the Bengals were going to get in a position to kick a field goal, but the bird brains who call the plays on that third and one, guys, on third and one, they've got two timeouts left, and they run the ball knowing they're going to have to call a timeout whether they get it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the bird brains didn't get it. Then they try to pass, and of course, Mr. McDonald, what is that his name?
Aaron McDonald, yep. Aaron Donald.
Oh, yeah. Aaron Donald,
yep.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald ruined the night for Cincinnati, but still a good competitive game, and looking forward to next year. But boy, I'll tell you, the Patriots have a long ways to go to catch up, huh?
They do.
I don't know, maybe not as far as everybody thinks. There's definitely key positions they need to fill, and it's not going to get, it's going to get any easier by the fact that the number of coaching vacancies they now have. So, but I don't think they're that far away.
Well, I did enjoy the game, and gentlemen, before we turn it over to golf, this, for someone who didn't have a dog in the fight, so to speak, this was the most exciting NFL playoff season I've ever seen, because even down to the Super Bowl, from the second round on, every single game was decided within the last minute.
So yeah, true. Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, you know, and it's the first time that all the playoff games have been decided by four or less points.
Yeah.
So it speaks to parity, I guess. That's something that the NFL has been looking to achieve for some time, and did they achieve it with this particular playoff season? Could be. Is this what we're going to look to expect in the years to come? I wouldn't hang a dollar bet on it, but certainly it made it interesting. It made you hang around to the end.
And I'm sure the commissioner was very happy that the last seven games, which is the last 3 weeks of competition, had all those close games for us to talk about, with the problems he's facing with the former coach Flores,
mm-hmm.
and where that's all going to lead. But still, I mean, fantastic. The four divisional games, the two conference championship games, and the Super Bowl. We couldn't have asked for more and more competition, and we'll have to see how the Patriots can catch up a little bit next year. They got major issues with their coaching staff, as Tim mentioned. I think they're going to have a fantastic draft to be anywhere near competitive with the Bills next year.
Well, maybe they'll make a player two or player trade or two to step up like the Celtics did, which is a story for another day. But Gary, you mentioned something that really got my interest, and you were talking about, you know, coaches calling plays and so on. And maybe you could tell me, getting into golf now, about either similarities or differences in the golf game as to who advises each individual golf player. Because as opposed to a team sport like football, where someone else is responsible for what you do, golf doesn't seem to be that way.
At least not during competitive rounds, but of course during the tournament round, the championship round, the player only has his caddy for help. at least in between rounds, he can talk to anybody he wants, but during the round itself, he doesn't have an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator except his caddy.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to work for a lot of players in getting right into that wonderful segue into what we want to talk about this week. For the third week in a row, Tim, we had a first-time champion on the PGA Tour, although with no surprise in this case that Scotty Scheffler won. He's been knocking on the door. He had a great year or two on the Corn Ferry Tour. He won the U.S. Junior way back. A long time, a multiple All-American during his college years. No surprise that he won, because he won in a terrific battle down the stretch yesterday, getting into a playoff with Patrick Cantlay, who was one of the top players right now on the tour, winning a three-hole playoff in Phoenix. So Scheffler's now arrived, and of course we can also talk about all the shenanigans that took place in the wildest weekend you'll find any year on the PGA Tour, with holes in one and players who make holes in one being showered with beer on the tee, and players taking their shirts off to show their beautiful beer chests. It was a wild week in Arizona with a very, very worthy champion.
Yeah, what's that with the soaking and the shirts? You know, are they becoming the Major League Soccer of golf? What's the deal?
No, you won't find this anywhere else but at Phoenix, at the Waste Management tournament that they had this past weekend. I think the commissioner is willing to, Jay Monahan is willing to let it all hang out for 1 week. And unfortunately, Tim, to move on to our second topic, unfortunately for the second week in a row, one of his players has let it hang out in too much, in making a big complaint, a big whine about something on the tour. Last week it was Phil Mickelson talking about money while he's playing over in Abu Dhabi, making it $1 million just for showing up. And this week it's Charlie Hoffman, a journeyman tour pro who's made a fortune, basically as a has-been. He won a couple of tour events, but all minor tour. Actually won the tournament championship that they play at Boston every year about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But he had a big complaint over the weekend about a ruling that was made. He didn't feel was made in his favor. He got beaten up big time by Brandon Chamblee yesterday on the Golf Channel about it, and he's taking a beating from everybody left and right. He thought Phil was getting beat up. Charlie Hoffman was in no position to be criticizing the rules officials or the fact that players are leaving the tour because of the poor level of officiating out there. And, well, I hope this will be the end of this, because this is the last thing Jay Monahan needs from his PGA Tour players, making so much money.
Yeah, it's behavior, you know, across the spectrum of sports, Gary, is getting more and more bizarre. Yesterday, they're in the Super Bowl. A guy who's not even dressed for the game runs out on the field for Cincinnati and gets him a 15-yard penalty. It's like, you know, what are you doing?
He's a member of the team, too. He's a member of the team, but he was injured,
yeah,
right? So he wasn't in uniform.
Right, yeah, he was injured.
Well,
I don't know. Do these guys just not know the rules? You know, are they that dense? Are they that stupid? Are they that ignorant of their own game?
Yeah, well, you know? Yesterday I think he was just getting carried away. It was the biggest sporting event, Tim, of the calendar year, every year. So I give the guy a little bit of slack, but I'm sure he got beat up afterwards, verbally anyways. But it's the way it's going with these guys. They make so much money, they think they can get away with the law, whether they're mouthing it off or... Of course, the golfing gods came down hard on Charlie Hoffman, because he did make the cut, but he shot 79 on Sunday to finish dead last. So that was good to see that for Charlie Hoffman.
Gary, I read that, but I didn't understand it. Explain what happened with Hoffman, because it had something to do with going in the water and dropping the ball for a penalty shot or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not going to get it. He thought he was doing the right thing, and he got he may have been misdirected by an official from a previous ruling, but he simply didn't get the proper advice. He didn't ask for proper advice from an official, which they always have the right to do, and that's the smartest way to avoid trouble, by calling for an official. He didn't do it. He thought he was doing the right thing when he wasn't, and he paid the price.
Hey, listen, you know what? For all the high school sports that we do, that is one of the best pieces of advice I've ever heard, Gary, is like, ask the official. If you have a doubt, ask him or ask your coach. Why not?
You know it. You know it. So, but speaking of a good thing that happened this week on the tour is Rob Oppenheim, Salem Board, and Overbred had a great week at the Corn Ferry Tournament down in Columbia, of all places. He finished tied for fifth, which is a great sign. Hopefully that Rob's game is shaping into form earlier this year than in past years. Our Evan Harmeling from Andover did not make the cut. He missed the cut by a shot, but those are our two boys right now grappling on the Corn Ferry Tour, and it was great to see Rob play so well, make a very healthy check, and hopefully that will lead for bigger and better things as we progress with the seasons here.
All right, Gary, I have a question to ask, just totally off the cuff, but when I get you and Mike Grenier on, I just have to ask you about your experiences because, you know, as a fan, you have experiences that we don't have. And I want to ask you if you could relay a player or a story or an interview about someone that it automatically makes you smile when you think about it, because you go back, I mean, the Masters stories that you have are incredible, but you covered it so many other sports as well. Is there a player or a place or a coach or someone that, you know, whenever you think about it, you just smile like, man, this was good?
Well, I get it. We have to turn back to Kevin McHale because, you know, every game after the Celtics played during that glorious 10-year stretch with McHale, Bird, Parrish, and the like, Larry was pretty serious. Kevin was more delirious than serious. He had a fantastic sense of humor, and we had so many laughs with Kevin after games, whether it was on the record or off the record. I'm still surprised that he hasn't done a memoir. No one's written a book with Kevin yet, because there was no one with a better sense of humor during all those years I was covering the Celtics when they had the big three than Kevin McHale. And
Wow.
Well, he was great.
What's off the record is off the record, but can you give us an overview about, you know, maybe a general topic? What would he do? Would just talk about off the cuff things before you started writing? How would that work?
He was way well read, and after a game, you know, whether he spoke before or after Larry, he'd be serious for a while, and then he'd go off on tangents and oftentimes talking about the news of the day. Whether it be hard news or sports.
Wow, okay.
He loved to give his perspective on all that was going on in the world. And he had us there in stitches more days and nights than, especially in days and practice days, but not game days. He just had a fantastic sense of humor, a wonderful, playful bit about himself. Mm-hmm. And I hope someone gets him to write a memoir. It'll be a bestseller.
Awesome. All right, Tim, final questions or comments with Gary?
You know, Gary, I saw a piece on Twitter yesterday, and it was a guy telling a story that he said he never heard about Larry Bird. And Shaughnessy went up to him at a practice, and Larry had a couple of fingers taped together, and Shaughnessy asked, are you going to use that? Are you going to have your hand taped like that in the game? And Bird made him a bet that $5 for every free throw he could hit left-handed.
Right, shooting and shooting. I think they shot 100. Is that when they shot 100? Is that the day he shot 100 or that different day?
Yeah, that's the day he shot 100. What if you owed him $160?
Oh, jeez.
Or it took the money and wore it and carried it in his sock that night during the game.
That's right. Great story from Dan Shaughnessy's new book about the 80s and covering the Celtics during the Bird era. a lot of great stories like that in the Shaughnessy book, but that's a great story, Tim. I love it.
All right, Gary. Finally, do you have anything in the pipeline coming up? Are you working on some books or some historical perspectives or stories?
Yeah, I've just been given the green light to put together. I may have mentioned it last week, but I have a chance to do a 27 year reflection on the beginning of the second century of history at Salem Country Club. We'll be putting that book out by the end of the year. They've had a lot of great things happen over there in the last 25, 27 years since the quarter century passed, which would be 2020. This will be two more years beyond the quarter century. You know, two senior opens. A lot of great stuff happened with the golf course, with the clubhouse, and it'll be a fun project. Looking forward to it, and we'll get it done during the year.
All right, that's Gary Larrabee. With Tim Kearns, I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsSports.com. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.